This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Oh, yeah. Big Independence Day week. We're still rocking it. Fireworks going off behind us as we speak. People still lighting those off. So hope you've had a great celebratory week. Hope you've had a fun week at least, or nothing else. Hopefully a safe week. Hopefully no firework mishaps.
I have all my digits.
Same. And I was in close proximity to some fireworks this week. So I'm glad to say there were no disasters. We did not go viral. Everything is good. So
we kept the baby away from the fireworks this year, but I feel like once he turns, you know, he'll be one next year. Like he'll be a year.
Oh, that's
like 16 months. Like that's plenty.
That's where you stick a bottle rocket in his diaper and light it and let's go.
Exactly.
Yeah. Get him used to the noise. That's right. I was going to ask how baby Billy and old Theo did with the fireworks. I know it's rough on babies and dogs, and you've got both.
I do have both. Theo is unfazed by them.
That's good.
We live in like a decently like loud part of town, and there's trucks and everything. Like we live by a busy road, and like there's trucks all the time going back and forth.
Live at Kemba Life.
Yes, we
do. Whatever it's called now. I don't know.
We live down there, and we live down by the Clippers Stadium. And when they shoot off fireworks, like he's fine with it. But yeah, he was totally unfazed by it. And we have like a white noise machine in the room where, you know, we're in the room where the baby sleeps.
That's a good idea.
We just cranked that up a couple more notches. It was like, we don't want him to wake up to the sound of fireworks. Like that would be bad. But no, he slept through it. Theo slept through it. Mom and Dad slept through it, so we were all good, man. Yeah. There was no problems for us.
That's excellent. That's what you want. 4th of July, everybody have fun, be safe, and don't wake up the kids if you can. So plenty to get to today. We will talk some Crew soccer. We will get to some things you said on Twitter. Actually, we're going to start with that in a moment. We've also got some U.S. men's national teamers, the men's national teamers going on the move. A few guys moving around Europe, so we'll talk about that. Kylian Mbappe, the latest on that saga with him and PSG and... Yeah, it's getting interesting there. I have some thoughts on how that's all going to play out. I got to tell you, spoiler alert on this, I don't think PSG has the balls to do what they're proclaiming.
No.
I don't think they got the balls to do it. I don't really like, I'm talking soccer balls only.
Ball. Why'd you say it like that?
Balls. I don't know. Just feels like something. Occasionally I like to talk like a Bronx construction worker. Yeah. Just the balls. You know what I mean? So there's that. Also, ESPN has put out their top 100, and I'm still trying to do the math on this because at first I expected a top 100 list, but
then
it's like
position.
Yeah, it's by position, and it's like the top 10 of each position. So then that got more confusing. So the point is, we'll get into all that coming up, and of course the Crew played in the midweek. But let's start here. We often ask you for feedback on Twitter at BoneBeamUnited on Twitter. And we don't often then later go back and go, hey, here's what people said. So today we're going to start with that. So we had asked you last week, testimonial matches. We love this idea. It's cool that they do that all around the world. I want to do it with the Crew. We gave some thoughts last week on who should have a testimonial. You gave some thoughts as well. And here are some of the responses we got at BoneBeamUnited on Twitter. Mark said, and this is a good point by Mark, talking about Save the Crew. He said the fans actually probably got the first testimonial match of anyone because we had that cold, wet October day where we saw players of all generations, even some World Cup players, come back to the club to play in a drainage ditch for us. he said that we should feel honored. That was special. And it was. That was right around Save the Crew time. It was a thing they did to kind of, you know, come back for the fans. And it was just such a good festive moment for that. And that is one of those memories that'll last on. That was at the, like, when he says drainage ditch, it was over at the Ohio Historical Society. They had a field right next to Old Crew Stadium when the Crew was still playing there. Historic Crew Stadium, I should say. And that's where they played this game on a short field. But it was a lot of fun. We had a blast with that. Derek said, Obusuke Abukasimo, a legend. And I did not spell check that either. I'm sure he didn't. And, there were some tongue-in-cheek references. Morgan, one of our longtime female listeners, said Andres Mendoza. That's obviously tongue-in-cheek. Matt said, if there's not a Jed Zehner testimonial, we riot. Jed Zehner's that's an old-school callback there.
I don't have that one.
Jed was like a nice, like a, he's one of those players that longtime Crew fans would know, he was a good community guy.
Okay.
Definitely not like a star MLS player by any stretch of the imagination. Now to some of the more serious ones. Charles said Pedro Santos. I think Pedro is a great call.
Yeah. There are a lot of votes for yep. Sanch there.
Yeah. Julie said Jonathan Mensah, which is, of course, correct. Bobby said Frankie or GBS. A lot of you said Frankie, Guillermo Barros Scalotto. Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is, like, the entire premise of this conversation happened because Guillermo was playing in the testimonial.
For Riquelme.
Yeah. So that's why this whole thing was kind of started.
Absolutely right. Alex said Pipa, Federico Higuain. Yep. He never got the send-off he deserved, and that's accurate. Another guy named Matt said Eddie Gavin, which, let me tell you right now, I don't know how many people I would like to believe.
Do you still hate the city of Dayton as much as neighbor Eric does?
Every Crew fan of a certain vintage hates the city of Dayton because of what they did to our beloved boy, Eddie Gavin. Listen, I don't know how many people would show up to an Eddie Gavin testimonial. I'd like to believe it would be a sellout and you couldn't get tickets. But here's what I know. Every person who would be at the Eddie Gavin testimonial would be literally on fire for that match. They would be, you could set the price at $500 and the people who want to go to it would be like, I will sell an organ.
I don't care.
I have to, because Eddie Gavin, for people who didn't follow and don't remember him or, and that's okay. Not everybody was a Crew fan when he was playing. Eddie Gavin was one of those, like, you know, hardest working team. He was just one of those guys. Steady Eddie literally was what everybody called him. Because it's easy, but also it worked. He just came, showed up, did everything he was asked to do, was a fantastic player, probably underrated in MLS as far as his talent goes. Had a long career because he started playing at like 16 or 17 years old with the Metro Stars back before they were New York Red Bull. And then just had some injuries and decided that that's time to call it quits. And he was like 29 years old. Basically like Lucas's age right now.
Yeah. In the prime of his career.
Yeah, still had plenty. I mean, he could have played for 6-7 easily more years, been a part of some great teams, but he just was like, nah, I'm done. I'm good. He was a part of the 08 MLS Cup run and the supporter shields in 08 and 09. Like, this guy is, Crew legend for sure. And so I think the fans that just were gut punched when he left, it's his prerogative, do what he wants to do. And this guy, he's like a dedicated, devout Catholic, very religious guy, went to go coach soccer and still does, I believe, at a small Catholic school. Not like a D1 Catholic. I don't know what. I forget the name of the school. I want to say it's down in Florida. But and he is famously doesn't do interviews, is not trying to come back here. I mean, he's, I think, probably been back once or twice for stuff. But he just famously is not around. So if he came back and had a testimonial, that's what those matches are for.
He's the coach of the Ave Maria University.
There you go.
And where started in 2016.
Yeah, I want to say I don't know if he helped start that program or something, but like he definitely, that was a thing that he did a few years ago, and that's what he does. He's not, you know, like a high profile guy.
Ypsilanti, Michigan.
Oh, it's in Michigan. I don't know where I got Florida. Then I was way off. Either way, point
maybe
is.
Maybe it's a different, well, this one says it's in Florida.
I thought I saw, well, whatever.
Ava Maria Boulevard in Ava Maria, Florida. Ava Maria University is a private Roman Catholic university in Ava Maria, Florida. It shares its history with former Ava Maria College in Ypsilanti. So it is down in Florida.
Okay, right. So it is in Florida. All right. Either way, Eddie Gavin came back for a testimonial. I'm just telling you that like 2,000 people or however many people would show up, it would be something. But this is what I had a thought of. Oh, and another one. Someone named Ohio Respector said, how has no one said the GOAT Will Hesmer? Which is good. Yeah, goalie Will Hesmer. You don't see a ton of goalie testimonial matches, but then again, not every goalie is as awesome as Will Hesmer. Will Hesmer famously scored a goal against Toronto to beat Toronto, where he came up like in stoppage time. I think beat or tie, I forget. But that was always a great moment. But
is that the last time a Crew goalie and the only time a Crew goalie has scored?
I don't think so. I could
Someone
be wrong.
Someone throw up the bat beam, the bat signal to Steve Sirk.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll know. And there probably is someone that we're forgetting there. But, yeah, that was – but Will Hesmer was the goalkeeper for the 08, you know, MLS Cup team. And, yes, plenty of great reasons to give him the nod. He is one of the best Crew goalkeepers of all time. Yeah, I'd love to see a testimonial for him. But I'll say this. I wonder where we would be if we – decided to do this, like, let's say they had the alumni match, because I think they should have if they're not going to do full on testimonials, at least once a year, say any of the old guys who want to come back. Yeah. And then if like 1 year, Eddie Gavin's like, you know what? Screw it. I want to run out there for a little bit. Then that can be kind of like his testimonial a little bit, because it'll be his first time back. It'll kind of be like that, right?
If the current players want to play in it too. Mix it up a little bit.
Sure. Put some of the, like, or let some academy kids get out there and run with some of these legends. Like, yes, that'd be awesome. But I wonder, would Crew fans want that at historical Crew Stadium near the Ohio Historical Society? Would they want it at the old Crew Stadium, or would they want it at the LDC? Because there's a part of me that says totally understood why you'd want to do it at the historic Crew Stadium. It's history. It's the team's legacy. That's where a lot of these guys played. Another part of me says,
we got a damn cool, brand new, shiny building.
Well, and these guys should get to play there.
Yeah.
That's kind of one of the things I would really love
you
to
built
see.
This.
Like, the reason this team exists is because the passion that your eras engendered amongst these fans and kept this team going when it looked like it was in doubt. That's all those guys' legacies. Back to McBride, you know, name your guy. Like, they all had something to do with getting the fans to love this team enough to fight for it. So I feel like the LDC would be a place to say, look at what you helped build.
Yeah.
And I think that could be really cool. Have the Nordeck in full voice. Maybe you don't sell like all the sections. You know, it might be tough to sell out. At least the first few years might be tough. But that's I would love to see it. I think that's where I would want it. I don't think I'd want it. No offense to historic Crew Stadium.
Well, I think they both have their pros and cons, right? I mean, you look back and like, oh, look at the old lady over here.
Yeah.
Like, let's not forget about her and the history and these great moments and team history. But also look at this beautiful brand new thing that we have and how awesome it is. And like, guys, look at what you helped build. Like, I think that would be very cool. Like, you spent a lot of time and a lot of days and a lot of match days over at historic Crew Stadium. Like, look at what we have now and look at what you helped build. Like, I would probably prefer at the LDC, but I would also be cool at historic Crew Stadium.
Yeah. You know, it would be cool too, though. You could do that. You could do both. You could have those guys come in. Now I'm just full on in event mode. I want to plan this thing out. You could have those guys come in on like a Thursday or Friday. Let's say you're going to do it on the weekend.
Yeah.
Have them come in on a Thursday or Friday and have a training session at the new training facility. They get to go through that. They get any treatment they need or want. They can just run out and then use the practice fields. And then you do an autograph, meet and greet, fans hang out inside the stadium on the field at the old Crew Stadium. That's where you get that incorporated in. So you can go meet and get your picture taken with Eddie Gavin or Guillermo Barros Schelotto on the pitch where you saw them play. Then they get to go play a match at the new place.
That's a great idea.
That's the way I think you do that. And by the way, one ticket price for all that.
And then one Crew Ultra Jonathan T-Bone Smith is going to march down Hudson and smash broken bottles over someone's head who ever talks trash to him.
Maybe I would. Yeah, if someone talks some trash. But that's the thing. I would. It would be a lot of fun to see that happen. And I would actually be okay if they even brought in some old, like, other MLSers. Like, bring in Cuauhtemoc Blanco and let Frankie take him out one more time. That's what I say. Let Gino Padula and Cuauhtemoc go at it a little bit. I'd love that. But, yeah, guys like Gino Padula, I'd want Gino to have a testimonial myself. I might be, you know, me and, like, 500 people. But still, Gino, my guy. Love this. So, I'm sorry to rail on this for, like, two straight weeks. If you've been listening to this podcast, you're like, we get it, Bone. Move on.
But who cares?
I care.
I know you do.
And I'm just, everybody at the crew is like, got any ideas? What do you guys think?
Yeah.
This is the idea.
We have plenty.
Yeah. But
some of them are good. Most of them are bad. But we have ideas.
To be fair, the crew don't need any of my ideas right now because they're selling out left and right. Yeah, and the team's playing great. We are going to talk about the team. Midweek match in Miami. Curious to see how you feel about that match, Beamer, because there's two ways I think you can go with it. So we'll get into that when we come back. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
What a moment!
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
Of course, you can tweet the show at Bone Beam United. We are not yet on Instagram, let alone Instagram Threads.
We're on Threads.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that just popped off this week. Have you gotten onto the Threads experience yet?
I have not. Maybe? I've not jumped onto the thread count, but might have to.
I did. And then mine is, I've got nothing going so far. Like, no, I posted something and I've seen likes on that, but or whatever they are, I forget. But I have some followers, but I don't, and I'm following people. And yet this is, when we're recording this, I downloaded it like 2 hours ago. So maybe it's just working through the bugs because it's like the first day of it. But yeah, I'm hopeful that the Threads experience is good. I know people obviously have had their concerns about Twitter. So who knows? Let us know on Twitter, oddly enough, if you want us to do a Threads or an Instagram account or something. I don't really know what would go on the Instagram account because we don't really take a lot of pictures of ourselves. And that's kind of the way the gram functions. But yes, maybe Threads is a place for us to jump over there if you don't want to use Twitter. Whatever. Let us know what you think. At Bonebeam United, currently on Twitter and still will be for the foreseeable future. Maybe we'll add some other places to find us as well. Beam keeps wanting to do an OnlyFans, and I said,
hey,
not,
man,
not yet.
I've said OnlyFans, and I think the real ace in the hole for us would be Foot Finder. Like, I think for sure we need to get on Foot Finder. I don't know. OnlyFans seems a little lowbrow for me, but Foot Finder seems right up my alley.
It's just a website that's a like an encyclopedia of soccer players. Footy Finder?
Yeah, that's correct.
It's just knowing all your different soccer players. Yeah. That's all it is. Sure, of course. Crew played Inter Miami, not to be confused with Inter Milan.
Different teams entirely.
Yes, one of them is a worldwide juggernaut that attracts legendary talent. The other
one is a small, plucky club in Italy.
You beat me to it. I knew
been doing this podcast now for 5 years, and I'm like, listen, let me take the steering wheel. I know exactly where Bone is going to go with this.
That's right. Lionel Messi, not there, but I'm still convinced that half the people that are buying tickets for Inter-Miami games have no idea when he's playing. They're just like, I just need to have a ticket to this game to stay there. Clearly, they did not have enough people at that game because I was looking at the stands. It was, I know it was July 4th, but it was a little bit bare in the stands.
Would have been sold out here.
No doubt. But you know what? Right now, you could have the crew playing a scrimmage, and it would be sold out here, as is going to be the case on Saturday, as you may know if you're listening on Saturday. Maybe you're headed to the game. In either case, crew on this match day, whatever it is, I forget what number they're on. That was, I guess, match day 21. They ended up with a 2-2 draw there in wherever they're playing, Fort Lauderdale, wherever Miami Stadium is. So thoughts on this one, Beam, because they have a 2-1 lead, 89th minute.
Yep.
You get a Yosef Martinez bicycle, which is ridiculous. It's a late lead lost. It's points dropped, but it's also a goal that's, what do you do with that? I mean, if a guy hits that goal, you just almost have to tip your cap and say, all right, I get it.
So you mentioned there's two lines of thought here, and I'll go with the first line of thought, which is not my line of thought, but some crew fans may have this. It's the worst team in MLS. They're about to get a boost with the little lion man and Messi coming over. Like, that's going to happen sooner rather than later here at some time towards the end of the month. So get them while you can. Now, I don't know if Lionel Messi is going to be able to save them this year. Like, I think only one man can do so much. And granted, he's the greatest player, arguably, you know, to ever have a soccer ball dropped at his foot. But worst team in MLS. It's a road game, and you had a late lead, and you ultimately blew it. Like, there's that way to look at it. Like, man, this team should have got 3 points. They blew it late again. This is kind of a hangover, the same story from last year. But if you go back to last year, I mean, they were giving up these goals to lose games, and it seems like in the last month, or I mean, they haven't lost an MLS game, haven't lost a game since the month of May. So you're giving up these goals, Bone, but you're tying. Like, you're getting a point out of each, and it's a much different situation than we were in 12 months ago, because I remember being in here last year at this exact point, like, hey, man, like, at some point you're going to have to make a run up the standings, and dropping 3 points every week or every other week is going to be a tough way to look. So if crew fans want to look at it of that way, like, hey, it was against the worst side, you should have got 3 points, you had a late lead, I understand that. But my line of thinking is, you just played a game on Saturday, this past Saturday in Columbus. You have a short week. I mean, you have 2 days rest. You have Sunday off. You have Monday off. You're traveling down to Miami on the 4th of July. Last time I checked a map, Miami's in Florida, and it's very hot. It's a sweltering heat on 2 days rest, and you still got a point.
Yeah.
It's the kind of the way that I am looking at it right now, at least like my positive side of the brain. Like, that's kind of what I'm attributing it to. 2 days rest, unbelievable goal at the end of the game to give up. You had a lead. Unfortunately, instead of getting 3 points, you only got one. But that rest and the heat on the 4th of July on the road with travel in there, like, okay. Like, if you would have told me before the game and you would have thrown out the times of the goals, like, hey, crew draw 2-2 in this, are you okay with that? Yeah, I think I would have been. I would have been fine.
I think most people, although it's the fact that it is one of the worst teams, and if you're going to steal points on the road, these are the teams you can get them against.
Yes.
And then you figure out you have the 2-1 lead. Here's where I'm more frustrated. The first goal coming yet again off a set piece, and I feel like how many times have we heard that? Mm-hmm. It's still an issue for this team, is giving up goals on set pieces. And I feel like the weird thing, and I know it's not the way the team has to play. The team is so fun to watch right now. Yeah. The way that they play under Wilfried Nancy, like this is an amazing turnaround of making this team interesting to watch. They are exciting. They are fun. They are dynamic. One thing they have currently lacking to me is their lack of ability to do anything with set pieces offensively. Mm-hmm. And not, I shouldn't say nothing with set pieces, but unless Lucas is going to get on the end of a free kick,
yeah,
you're doing nothing with corners, really, right? For the most part. I'm trying to think if I can. I don't remember. There's a goal recently that's come off a corner, other than maybe it squirted around in the box and someone tapped it. Nothing like drawn nothing up off up, the yeah. practice field right. that happens yeah. that I'd like to believe that gets better at some point as, you know, you get some new talent in, you get some new players
let's
in.
Be honest, I mean, it's year one, right?
Yeah,
I know.
That's true. I'm just saying it's been a problem for a while. And then giving up goals on set pieces,
it's the
other side.
It's the biggest. It's the biggest issue. That and late goals are the two biggest issues that they
so
have.
That's where I think the inner game can be problematic for you, is we just, this is that same old script. And again, I don't panic on this. It is July. There is still a whole bunch of soccer left to go on this. And the Crew are a top four team. Yeah. They're a top four team in the East. The East is the tougher division. If they were in the West, I think they'd be like first or second. They are 3 points back of second, which again is where Nashville been a really good team too, right? So if you get those 2 points in Miami, you're much closer. Mm-hmm. You're only, as it stands right now, 9 points away from Cincinnati with that top spot where they look like they were going to run away with it. Not quite. You know, I mean, this is still doable for the Crew to go out there and get. I mean, it's a long shot. You'd have to beat them head to head. You have a whole lot of other things that have to happen. But I mean, you're not out of the running for Supporters Shield, technically.
Right.
I don't think it's likely, but it's definitely not over. But as far as if you said to most Crew fans start the season, you're going to be top four in the East and really competitive with every team that you play in the MLS. And you've got 4 months of the season left to figure out the rest of it. I'm feeling good right now. I don't think it's a bad vibe. I just don't like some of these little trends. I'll throw out a couple things, unless you've got something else on that, a couple other things from this game.
Well, not really from this game, other than Darlington Nagbe only scores bangers from outside of the box on one touches.
I wanted to make sure we touched on that, because the goal from Darlington, you're right.
Just one a year.
One a year, yeah. Man. But when he scores it, just know it's going to be on the highlights. And I'll say this too, Lucas is the filthiest player in MLS. Mm-hmm. That pass he had to Mo Farsi, where Farsi had this first touch that let him down, where he slid it through like four defenders in a diagonal line that was perfectly clear to no one but him. And then as soon as he does it, you're like, well, of course, what a pass. But he had the vision. He saw it. Yeah. He made the pass. And then Farsi's touch didn't result in anything. It was, I mean, just a little lighter touch there, and he gets a nice goal, and that would have been another highlight reel assist for Lucas El Rayan. But that was great. The step over he had, him and Cucho at the top of the box, mm-hmm. are just magical to watch. Cucho gets an assist to who else? Christian Ramirez, the best goal scorer that we have.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes, but and that one, that was even Alexander Matan. He is right there making play. Three guys converge on him, and he flips it out to Cucho. And then Cucho does like an amazing one touch to get it into the box. And Ramirez is completely unmarked. Why? Because everyone was drawn to that
everyone
side
was,
of the field.
Yeah, everyone was floating Matan and Cucho.
Yeah. So that's what you want. This is exciting. This is good. I love seeing how this team plays offensively. We just got to shore up a few things on the back end and get some set piece improvement.
And the transfer window is opening. And
you just brought in.
Welcome to Columbus international roster spot.
Yes. International roster spot. And the, I'm blanking on
Sherbanko,
the player's name.
Right?
Yeah. From Ukraine that we just brought in. That guy now joins the
Evan
team.
Evan Sherbanko?
I think that's right.
Yep.
Yeah. Welcome to Columbus. And hopefully, let's see what he can do. That's another person to throw in the mix. And again, you need to fix the back line. You're starting to see some ways to do that. So let's hope that holds. I'll take a break and we'll switch over to talking some European soccer. American players in European soccer specifically, where are they landing? We'll give you the latest next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
I'll just say the most insane goal I have ever seen.
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
Follow follow us on Twitter at BoneBeamUnited. And of course, if you're listening on the radio and you're not subscribed to this podcast, it does come out in podcast form before it hits the radio. Find it wherever you get podcasts. Just search Bone and Beam United. We've had over 200 episodes, post one every week. We posted a bunch during the Men's World Cup last year. We'll have, you know, Women's World Cup coverage coming up that we'll talk about, which means we're going to stay up super early or get up early, stay up late, however you look at it. We'll be watching those games as well. Excited for all that. But yeah, follow along. Join the community. We've had a lot of fun here.
And subscribe to our OnlyFans account or Foot Finder.
Or
account,
Foot Finder.
If you're into that.
Or Footy Finder, yes. Whichever one it is. So there's some news about U.S. men's national teamers. First off, Weston McKennie making an interesting move, I feel like. He leaves Italy, leaves Juventus, heads on over to, well, actually, let me take that back, right? Because he was. Yeah, Juventus, yeah. Right.
In Italy,
but then is now going to Borussia Dortmund. Usually Borussia Dortmund tends to be one of those, and I don't mean to besmirch them.
Look at Christian Pulisic.
They tend to get the younger players and then flip them as, you know, they get a little bit better.
Hey, Jude Bellingham replacement, Weston McKennie.
Hey, man, I'll take it. Listen, I have no problems. I love rooting for Weston McKennie, great player. And I have no problems buying a black and gold jersey.
Yeah.
So I'm all about a Borussia Dortmund follow there. Although, did I see who else was rumored? Who was it that he, there was another player that I'm trying to remember who it is that's rumored to be going to, was it Union Berlin? Union Berlin.
It's your team. How dare you?
I forgot. It's my team now. I adopted them. Who was going there?
Is it Brandon Vasquez?
No. No, is it Aronson?
I don't know.
I thought it was Brendan Aronson.
Maybe.
I think that's who it is. Different U.S. national team are playing in MLS, but yeah, Brendan Aronson, I want to say, was like talked about going to Union Berlin. So anyway, there are some American players moving over to Germany, which is, as we know, been a hotbed for U.S. men's national team talent. There's been a lot of guys to play there, but Weston McKennie, probably the highest profile guy in a while to move back into a German club.
Jordan Pefok playing for Union Berlin as well.
Oh, I didn't realize that's where he's playing. There
come
we
on,
go.
Man. You're
come
a, on. You're an Union diehard.
No. Borussia Dortmund, me and Weston McKennie. Come on. That's black and gold. What am I going to do?
Playing Champions League this year.
That's right. Yes, that's the interesting thing, right? So obviously that's good for Weston McKennie having another chance to get some Champions League matches. That's what you want. Also, Christian Pulisic on the move to possibly also have a chance to play some Champions League matches because he won't have that opportunity with Chelsea.
Nope.
And we knew that was all done anyway,
yeah,
right?
He was done there.
So the latest, as of Soccer Podcast Day recording, which is Thursday, by the time you hear this, it may be already even more of this is known, but there is apparently a 20 million euro bid, $21.8 million bid by AC Milan.
All right.
To get him away from Chelsea. This has been something that I saw Fabrizio Romano had tweeted about that this is all well down the road. AC Milan trying to bring in Christian Pulisic. So one star player from the U.S. national team, U.S. men's national team, leaves Italy. Another one heads over there, possibly in Christian Pulisic.
So the interesting thing about Christian Pulisic, now he's going to leave Chelsea where he ends up. Remember, Juventus were interested in signing him a couple of weeks ago. Like, this is the silly season. Pour yourself a glass of bourbon or whatever your spirit is and read as much or as little as, you know, the rumors and everything reports. But it looks like he's going to at least be on his way to Italy. Like, that seems to be the case, whether it's Juve, whether it's AC Milan. Like, I don't know. But interesting note about that is Yunus Musa has been playing in Valencia for a long time, has been playing in Spain. AC Milan also interested in him. So you could have the potential, if both these things work out, where Christian Pulisic and Yunus Musa would be playing in the same field together at the same time for AC Milan. Again, a team that was in the Champions League semifinal last year against Inter and is, it's AC Milan.
Yeah,
like that's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. So this is, I know that this time of year we always, as soon as you get out of European soccer, like hit me up in February and I'm like, man, I've watched a lot of this. I'm kind of getting, like I'm waiting for MLS to start. I'm a little bit fatigued by it.
Leeds are going
to
get relegated. Why am I even watching anymore? Right. Not this year, Villa,
but
not for you.
No, Villa, baby. We're in Europe. We got a whole bunch of things brewing now. This is a hardware year for Villa. Let's put it down. Anyway, all I know is this time of year, we're now about a month away from the start of all the European leagues cranking back up. Yeah. I am at my almost highest point of anticipation for the season, even higher than like the week it happens where then I'm like, oh, wait, where am I going to watch this game? And when am I going to get? And then it becomes like a logistics of which games am I watching? Now I'm just like, I am jonesing so much for some of this to come back. As much as I love watching MLS and watching the crew, you know, I also like to see what's going on with the U.S. men's national team guys and see what they're doing. And obviously the Gold Cup's going on, but I got to tell you, my enthusiasm for the Gold Cup is like 1%.
We play Canada this weekend, right?
Yeah, it may have already happened by the time you hear this. I don't know. Here's what I know. I'm like, because they won, won the one that mattered.
We won the Champions League.
We won the one that
Champions Cup. CONCACAF
Yes, whatever.
So my co-host.
We won the Justice League or something. I don't remember what it is.
My co-host and my producer of, you know, the morning show that I'm on here on The Fan, not huge soccer guys. And
Mark the Shark.
Yes, Mark the Shark's like, what is this thing that they're playing in right now? And I looked at him. I'm like, I don't know. He's like, don't you host a soccer podcast? I'm like, yes, I have no clue. Gold Cup, International Champions Cup, Champions League, Gold Cup, League of Nations. I don't know. I don't know what everybody's playing.
Here's what I know with this one, at least. What I know is who did they call in for this one versus who they call in for the last one. This is not the Gold Cup they've got. The one they do in two more years, that's the one that will be.
Yeah.
When they go back and do this in 2025, that'll be a real deal. That'll be a World Cup preview. That'll be a, I can't believe I'm saying this, Greg Berhalter, show us what you've got. Show us where this team is. That Gold Cup in 2 years will matter a lot more than this Gold Cup right here. And that'll be, of course, also a big, big, big tune-up. Man, you're going to have so much soccer, right? Gold Cup in 2025. Don't we have... Euros next year, of course. And is Copa Libertadores here next year?
That sounds...
Or Copa America? One of those is here.
I think it's Copa America.
Yeah. And then what was the thing that they are putting over here too to like test out the World Cup venues? Like we just talked about. FIFA World
Nations.
FIFA Club World Cup is playing some stuff here
and
too.
I think the FIFA Nations League is so much different stuff.
Anyway.
And I have no idea how any of it works.
Yes. Exactly right. So
all I know is that we don't have to qualify for the World Cup, which is very exciting.
That's right. Yes. And that's good. Because that gives you just time to focus on the roster and not worry about trying to slug it out in CONCACAF. You still want to show well.
Sure.
But don't get anybody hurt and play some young guys if you need to. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we will talk about arguably the best player in the world. I don't know if he is to you anymore or not.
Up there.
Right. Well, we'll talk about one of the best players in the world, trying to figure out where he's going to play soccer this year and beyond. Also, we'll talk about the top players in the world at a bunch of different positions. All that coming up next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
It defies description.
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
Welcome back to Bone and Beam United. Plenty to get to here because there's a story where I'm going to just say it flat out. I don't believe one of the biggest clubs in the world. I believe they're lying. So Kylian Mbappe plays for Paris Saint-Germain.
Ever heard of him?
Pretty good. I hope you have.
Yeah, it looked like he had an awesome time at Michael Rubin's 4th of July party.
I didn't see this. What was going on there?
You didn't see anything about the party?
No.
So Michael Rubin, CEO of Fanatics, like part owner of Devils in the NHL and the 76ers in the NBA.
And maker of some of the crappiest apparel I've ever had in my life. I hate that Fanatics has taken over everything. But
there was a 4th of July party where he had at the, you know, his mansion in the Hamptons, you do. And it was like Tom Brady, Robert Kraft, Joel Embiid, Jay-Z, Beyonce. Like anybody who's a who's who in the world was at this thing. CJ Stroud was there.
Oh,
Joe Burrow was there. Like it
was
awesome.
That's pretty big company to be a part of there. Yeah,
huge. And I saw a great picture of Kylian Mbappe and Joel Embiid just hanging out. And it led me to believe, like, I wonder who the last people were at that party, like hanging around the couch, like having a, you know, late night bourbon, doing whatever, on the balcony. Like, what are those conversations and who was the last person?
Yes.
Like, imagine if you were there. It was like, it was me, Bob Kraft, Kylian Mbappe, and Justin Bieber.
Yes.
Like, just hanging out.
That's the thing. That's the very rich guy thing, is to have that strained thing where you're trying to remember all the people you hung out with. As you're talking to someone else, you're like, yes, I was hanging out with Tom Brady and Christopher Nolan and a soccer player from France. Kylian Mbappe, I think is his name.
So like, French fella.
Trying to remember all the stars you're with. By the way, this is a million-dollar idea, and then we'll get to the Kylian Mbappe story. If someone could figure out how to go to rich people's houses, not breaking an entry, just approach them legally and ask them, hey, after your big party, You have half a bottle of Cristal left. Maybe that's the bad example because that's carbonated. But maybe you have like a great bottle of wine or a tremendous bottle of bourbon that no one else could afford. But now you've drank half that bottle of Pappy. And now it's an open bottle of Pappy. It's just been sitting there. You're taking your chances. Maybe someone had mouthed it while they were drinking it. Maybe there's some backwash. How much would you pay, Beam, to get half a bottle of Pappy from that party?
Oh, a good fair amount.
I'd pay a couple $100.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pay the full Pappy amount, like a brand new bottle, but would you like to try some Pappy for a few $100 that happened to be, like, I would do that. I'm just
saying this is a totally just random, like,
this is
venture.
Your business. I'm saying this is the
half
business venture. Like, I will buy those bottles for like $100 a piece from you, which is like thousands of dollars, and you can donate that to charity, whatever you want. I will take your unused bottle. I will seal them back up, and then I will sell them online to people who want them for like $100, $200, $300.
It's actually a really good idea.
Right? Yeah. Wouldn't you? I'd buy that stuff. And then you could say, hey, yeah. And then you keep it and be like, this bottle of Pappy came from Robert Kraft's house or came from the Fanatics.
Yeah, whoever.
Or who cares where who came from? It's Pappy or it's whatever. If you like some French Bordeaux, whatever. Here you go. You get some of it. We call it recorked. But
I love that.
But the corked is apostrophe D. There's no E in there.
Okay.
And that's an app. Just, you know what? If you're smart and you can make this happen, just
make it
call
happen.
Me and like I'll 10% me and I'm good. You do the 90%. Give me 10% of this idea, and I'm in. All
You're
right.
going to be very distraught to find out this already exists somewhere.
I'm sure it does. Well, then I'll use it because I want to get some nice bourbon, but I don't want to pay all the money.
That all was right. like when I was a kid, and I came up with dog goggles, and I called them doggles. And then I found out later that some jabron had already started that.
He's already
done
it.
He was a multimillionaire and sold his patent to like the U.S. military for like attack dogs.
Of course, right. Mm-hmm. Well, Kylian Mbappe at times does play like an attack dog. He's ferocious. He's crazy. He's amazing out there, and no one can keep up with him. PSG wants to keep him at PSG, but he has already stated next year, I'm leaving.
I'm gone.
You can't re-sign me. There's nothing you can do. Mm-hmm. Well, the president of the club, Nasser Al-Khelaifi, said on Wednesday that they have basically decided he has to re-sign this summer for a contract. If not, they're going to send him away.
Well, they came out and he said, it's like, it's just not real. Like, he's the best player in the world, arguably one of the best. Definitely one of the best. I'm not sure if he's
top two or three has to
whatever,
be, right?
Man.
Whatever you
whenever
want to
say. Whenever he's on a field, you saw what he did in the World Cup final.
Of course,
like, he's
yeah.
able to take over a game and make your jaw drop. Like,
yes.
He's unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
And, you know, you got to pay him out his contract and everything. But he was like, it's not a real world that we're living in if you think we're going to let him walk away for free. So
right.
It either happens this summer where he's going to get transferred. It either happens in the January transfer window, or he's going to have to re-sign a new contract. And then we can think about selling him with a release clause and all these different things.
Yeah, so I appreciate that letter, and I get where he's coming from. Here's the thing. I know what he's talking about. Maybe there is a chance that they are laying the groundwork. I don't think he has the guts or the balls, as I said earlier.
Balls.
I don't think he has the balls to send him away this summer.
No.
Winter transfer window? Yes. I get you can't let him. You paid, what, $100-some million transfer to bring him in? You can't lose all that. I would argue you didn't lose that because you probably sold lots of jerseys and had lots of TV coverage that you got because of guys like Kylian Mbappe and Lionel Messi and all that. But, yeah, the reality is I can't see them dealing him to Real Madrid, which is where he wants to go. And it's just they've been trying to get him for years.
I mean,
I can't see that deal happening this summer, right?
He signed for Monaco for 180 million euros.
Is that what they brought him in for?
PSG bought him from Monaco for 180 million. That was 6 years ago. This is in 2017.
Oh my God. Time flies. I didn't even realize it had been that long.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So, okay. So this is, I mean, what you're talking about now is what is Real Madrid willing to pay? I know they would pay a lot for him. I don't know that they're going to say we will match that fee.
Well, and the problem is too with Real Madrid, like, they're building that unbelievable new Bernabeu.
Yeah.
And so they're already sunk costs into that, like, multiple billions of dollars.
Yes.
And Kylian Mbappe said, like, I want to play for Real Madrid. Who wouldn't, right? You have the opportunity to do that, but you have a club here that's spending billions of dollars to be able to pay for that. And then PSG coming along and saying, hey, we want, like, 250, 300 mil. Like, hey, even Real Madrid have a hard time swinging for that.
They're not, and I don't think they will. I think that's why you'll see it happen in the winter transfer window, because at that point, then it's like, we're not giving you $300 million for 6 months, right?
Yeah, they want $200 mil for this dude.
I'm saying this: you get him for a year, that means your whole season plan goes around that guy.
Yeah.
You get him in the winter, you're basically tossing in a good player to an already great system, right? Mm-hmm.
How do you replace Kareem Benzema? We'll sign Kylian Mbappe.
Well, sure, right. But they could do that in the winter transfer window and then say, yeah, maybe we'll do $120 million or yeah. $80 million. Or
TikTok, we're fine.
But it's like, but we'll just, or we'll wait you out and he'll sign with us on a free.
For free.
But at that point, right, I just, obviously Kylian Mbappe has to agree to it all. Maybe this works out that sometime in the winter, no one does anything, and then they trade him away out of they transfer him out of spite, and then he goes to play for some rando team for 6 months.
How great would that be?
I don't think that's likely, but
we've transferred Kylian Mbappe to Crew Alexander. Right. We've traded him to Southend United.
Sure, whatever.
Just go play over there in England.
I'm just saying.
Luton Town signing Kylian Mbappe.
Perfect. Oh, Wrexham will get him.
Yeah.
They've got the money.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't see this happening in the summer. Probably in the winter is when this goes, if it does.
It's one of the crazier stories that we have.
Yeah. We didn't get to the top 100 players. Maybe we'll do that next week. I'm guessing they won't change much between now and then. But thanks for listening to us. Enjoy the soccer, and we'll see you next time. It's Bone and Beam United.